The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Did he just put a donut in his mouth? It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here. And no, I didn't, but I did think about it, though.
You thought about it.
I thought about it. It's just out of arm's reach.
Now, I'm not going to say you have to open it, because obviously it's very special, but Jim looks like he brought you something very special.
Hawaiian chocolates, are they?
Yeah, they're chocolate-covered macadamia nuts.
Oh, jeez. Excellent.
Absolutely awesome. What does it say on the side? Hawaiian host.
Hawaiian host.
Wow. Mm. That's a big deal. Big deal.
Since 1927. So.
Really? Well, that's been a while.
Okay, well, you figure that they should be good at it by now, right? We hope.
We hope.
Something. So you and Marcy are recovered from your COVID stint?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We're back to fighting form.
Excellent.
Although my voice sounds a little crackly, so if I sound as though I'm going through puberty, please forgive me.
It's okay. We will forgive you. Okay. You should only have to do that once in your life, after all. Let's be serious.
Well, I'm trying to get it right.
Speaking of doing it over and over again, like 1927, just back from his tour of who knows what. Wait, I do know. Arizona and Hawaii and a million other principalities. It's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello, hello.
What's going on?
Yes, Diane Manica says hello. I saw her when I was in Arizona.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. And it was sunny both places. It was actually, Arizona was chillier than normal while we were there, but still, I mean, it beats snow. I mean, you know, when you can go out and walk and hike every day and the sky is totally clear,
oh,
it doesn't matter that it's not 75 degrees.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
It's a dry cold.
It's well, it wasn't really cold. It was just a little chilly some days, but it was very, very nice.
Oh, my gosh.
And Hawaii was even nicer.
Having never been, I can only assume.
Oh, well, we were on the Big Island. Right below Kailua Kona. And we were in a condo, and our balcony overlooked the pool and then the ocean beyond that. So every evening we got to watch the sunset.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Excellent. My heart bleeds.
Excellent. Yep.
Absolutely incredible. Coming back from not a tour of Hawaii, but probably just teaching biochem today, it's Professor Mara Livesey.
Hello.
Were you in Hawaii today?
Sadly, no,
oh,
but maybe part of my brain was there.
Okay, all right.
In the sun.
Have you ever been?
No, never.
Okay.
It's on the list of things to do as soon as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Because it's winter, mostly.
Yes, yeah, mostly that.
We can go whenever.
As soon as possible. What else is on the as soon as possible list? I'm kind of intrigued. Is it like all travel?
Oh, yeah. It's all travel. So this summer, Josh and I will be going to Rome.
Ooh, nice.
Gosh.
Yep.
Very nice.
But,
very
like,
nice.
The next thing I want to do is probably New Zealand, Australia,
mm-hmm.
and maybe Iceland. But Hawaii is high up there.
That's high up there.
I've also been told to see Hawaii first before going to see New Zealand.
Oh.
Because
if you see New Zealand, you'll be overwhelmed, and then you'll look at Hawaii, and you'll think it's a tourist trap.
I see. Mm. Interesting.
That's what I've been told.
It probably is a tourist trap.
I'll find out.
I mean,
I'll gladly do the research.
New Zealand sounds like it's Middle Earth after all this.
It is Middle Earth.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I will admit, I have seriously looked there for employment.
Ooh.
Listen to you.
Hey, the New Zealand Film Board. I mean, there's only so many storyboard people around
Zealand, right?
That's right.
Gosh. Well, we are very much a favorite today because we have Detroit Mercy alum Bob Rogowski visiting with us. We're so glad to have you here with us today, Bob.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. And speaking of traveling, I mean, you and your family are pretty well traveled. We're friends on Facebook, and it seems like every other day you have some fantastic thing going on.
Yeah, we have a daughter that just got back from living in Japan for a while, so we visited her a number of times, and we have another daughter that just moved from Munich to Amsterdam, so we'll be visiting her in May.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And next week, I'm going with a group of 15 University of Detroit Mercy students to New York City as part of.
Awesome.
We're just tagging along, but there's kind of a theater immersion experience.
Oh,
and Greg Robis, the manager of the program, said there's a little bit of room and invited us to kind of tag along. So,
That's so cool.
We're really looking forward. We did that a couple years ago.
What shows are you going to?
We're
going to
go see Life of Pi. We're going to see Camelot, which is just gonna, I think we're going to see it on opening night.
Ooh,
nice.
I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right. It's called Titanic. It's about Titanic.
Oh.
It's a comedy about the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh, how comic.
And,
oh, so funny.
And Sweeney Todd. So we're going to see at least four plays, go to a few jazz clubs, and maybe squeeze in a matinee, too. So,
that will be fantastic.
It's
New York is one of those cities that you could have so much fun getting in so much trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a good number of alum that are, you know, doing different things career-wise in the city. So they do, like, little lectures and things for the students, and they really give them some practical advice about how to make a living in New York City or some other environment. So it's a great experience for the students.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very
looking forward to it.
Excellent. Could you real quick just remind us what your alum cred here is? Like what year, what degree?
I'm not really a professor, but I was a teaching assistant in 1977 to 79 when they used to have such a thing. Okay. And so I used to like proctor exams and correct papers when those were done manually.
Sure,
and,
paper.
I got my master's degree in public administration, and I'm involved with athletics a little bit, and I love the theater program, and I also volunteer in the Career Center here.
That's so great.
I'm retired now.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for doing all that.
Retired.
That's awesome.
Retired. Good God, you sound busier than ever.
I know. And he's a walking advertisement, so that's also good. Yeah, we've got to wear our colors here, too. Well, folks, listening, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, we have a list of questions submitted. Hello, professors. Hello. This is my second set of questions I have submitted. I was successful in my first attempt and hope to be again with this set. Let me preface my questions by saying many people are famous for doing many things. And then there are people who are famous for basically having done one thing. It's the latter, which I'd like to focus on. Below is a list of 10 questions of people who are famous for basically doing only one thing. I'll give you their name and a general area for which they are known, with minimal hints, from Professor Mayo, your job is to figure out what they are famous for. I hope you'll find them interesting. 8 out of 10 is passing. Love that high bar. Here we go, and thanks, Steve Barney of Garden City, Michigan. Thanks for sending the question, Steve. Keep them coming. So some of these hints are going to be in the name of the person. Some of them are going to be in the years. Some of them are going to be in the area. So let's start with a relatively softball here. So Willis Carrier lived from 1876 to 1950, and he was generally in the area of engineering and inventing. What is Willis Carrier?
The Jeep.
Heating and cooling?
That's very specific.
Jeep is specific. It is not Jeep, but it is actually heating and cooling.
Oh.
Do you know why?
I have a Carrier air conditioner outside
my
house.
You do, because he invented the air conditioner. Yes, he did.
What year?
What year is my follow-up question. What year was the air conditioner invented? Good old-fashioned American ingenuity.
We used to call it open the window.
1902.
I was going to say 1908, 1910.
Passing 54, right?
I got to give it to both of you. 1907, we split the difference there. 1907, Willis Carrier invented what we now call the modern air conditioner, yes. Recirculated air. Isn't that wonderful? Kevin Moen was born in 1961. That's a pretty big hint. And has not yet left us. The general area is athletics. Kevin did something very important on November 20th, 1982. It's a very important date in the history of modern American sports.
So what's the date?
It was November 20th, 1982.
First three-point shot?
That's good. That's really, really good.
Isn't there a Moen? Well, let's see. There's
I'm thinking Moen Fawcett. Fawcett.
Yeah, I'm thinking
like,
that.
That's not
but did he do something with like a football helmet or a lacrosse helmet?
Football is going in the right direction. Yeah.
Kicking tee.
I guarantee at some level, all of us in the room have seen a very famous piece of footage having to do with athletics from November 20th, 1982.
You met the athletic supporter.
No.
Oh. Was he an athlete?
He was an athlete.
Okay.
Yes,
so
he
did something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what?
Yeah. This is a good one. This is a good one.
Moen. I'm trying to remember.
Does the name ring a bell? That's the
I'm trying to remember.
Did he invent one of those silly flops that you do when you like jump?
The Fosbury flop?
Yeah. Like a technique? Did he invent a technique?
No inventing here. Okay. No inventing here.
General
athletics. So I'll give it said minimal clues from Professor Maya. I hope you know that means... maximum clues.
Okay. Yeah, we're in for that. Yeah.
So the very, very famous football game on that date was between Cal and Stanford. Now, they hate each other's guts.
Oh, he blew up the field.
No. Was this the marching band?
Yes, the one where the band had already taken the field, but the clock hadn't run out yet, and he was running through the band with the winning touchdown. That was Kevin Moen. Yeah, that is a fantastic piece of footage. You got to see that if you've never seen it before.
I personally think marching band should be on the field all the time. I think that would make an interesting game.
It makes it harder.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to tackle them, because that's just unfair.
Oh, my gosh. The tuba is...
They may be impaled upon their instruments.
You sound like the nice little meme that went out last year with baseball was, celebrity first pitch, I triple-double dog dare you. How about celebrity last pitch? Tigers are down to their last out. Here comes Danny DeVito.
Oh, no.
that would be entertaining. Like, that would be great.
High stakes.
Todd Jones all over again.
Todd Jones.
Oh, Jonesy.
The walrus.
Oh, God.
Okay. Russell Johnson lived from 1924 to 2014. The world is entertainment.
He was the professor on Gilligan's Island.
He was the professor on Gilligan's Island. That's right.
He was also the sheriff on Dallas.
That is true. What was the name of the professor, by the way? First and last name?
Is it Professor... Yeah. Is it Livesey?
No. But it's close.
Okay.
Oh, doggone it. I should know it. Not Jonas Grumby. What is it? Doggone it.
Jonas Grumby.
That was the skipper.
The skipper, yeah.
He was... Roy something?
It was Roy something.
Whoa.
Yeah, see, Dave knows...
Crud. My COVID
Golden
brain isn't working yet.
TV. The first initial was H. Roy
Hinckley.
Hinckley.
Wow.
Roy Hinckley. Yes. The role of the professor.
Couldn't develop a coconut-based glue to save their lives.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well.
But somehow managed to invent radios and all kinds
darn everything else.
Chandeliers. Evening clothes for everybody.
Exactly.
And wasn't there also like a car or a tricycle that Gilligan would ferry the Howells around into.
That show. Okay, how about Edward Smith lived from 1850 to 1912, hint, hint, was a British military officer. I'm definitely looking at a decidedly Jim Tubbs direction.
Edward J. Smith was the captain of the Titanic.
That is who it was.
Oh, okay.
Edward Smith. Yes. Wow.
Died in 1912, as far as we know. Yes.
Yeah.
That was his first and last voyage on the Titanic.
Yes, it was.
He had come over from the Olympic.
I'm still stuck on Titanic or whatever.
It's some sort of Celine Dion parody rolled into the sinking of the Titanic.
Has enough time passed that it's okay to, you know?
And some local trivia, Tiger Stadium, the old Tiger Stadium, opened up like the same day or the same week.
That's right. The Titanic sank. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, how about Melinda Lou Thomas Morse? She was born in 1961. She's still alive. Okay. Essentially, she's a pop culture icon.
What was the name again?
She's not Melinda? An influencer, is she?
No. This is one's hard. Melinda Lou Thomas Morse, hyphenated surname there, Thomas Morse.
Entertainment?
Does she have a different name she goes by? Or no?
Possibly, but it's not too far from the name that she has been given. It didn't say entertainment. It said pop culture icon.
Pop culture.
Wait a minute. So is Mara. I mean,
speaking of influence.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean,
I would center in on her birth year, 1961. That should help you. And the fact that at one point in her life, her last name was just Thomas.
Marlo Thomas?
No. Nope. That's a good guess.
English muffins. What else?
No. See, you said, is this person an influencer? And what I will say is, she represents a very, very large company in the United States. Her visage represents a
Wendy?
Large company.
Wendy?
Yeah, it's Wendy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Dave Thomas modeled his whole company based on his daughter's visage.
Yeah.
And the reason that I waffled on influencer is everybody who's anybody knows on Twitter that the Wendy's Twitter account is extremely like hardcore snarky. Yeah. Like if you like serious go snark, at it yeah. and go, I'm going to McDonald's tonight. It's like, what's your problem? Like it'll like message you back.
Oh, it'll terrorize you.
Yeah. Tries to terrorize you. Yeah, but not in a bad way. In a friendly burger, square shaped burger kind of way. You know. Okay. Oh, this one's a little bit of a giveaway for my generation. Uh-huh. We'll see. He lived from 1927 to 2004 in the realm of entertainment. Our good friend, Mr. Bob Keeshan. Does that ring a bell?
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, Captain Kangaroo.
Captain
yeah.
Kangaroo. Can you get the years that Captain Kangaroo ran on the air correct?
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm going to say 59 to 64.
No. Pretty solid. What? 55 was the start. Oh, so okay. Very close.
He was still in, I remember watching him as a kid, so probably in 78?
I remember watching him as a kid, oh. So you get one more guess.
Where's Kendra when we need her?
I know.
55 to what, 82?
You know, it said 84 here. Wow. So it was. 84?
I stopped watching him in 64. That's what yes. I guess.
As soon as he went to color television, that was it, right?
After a while,
what would Mr. Green Jeans and Clarabelle say?
Well,
about
that was
that?
Mr. Gray Jeans back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. I think I showed my kids a clip where they would try to get him to say the word and then ping pong balls would fall on his head. And they're like, what the heck is this? Like, I'm like, you watch things way worse than this. That's all I
well,
got to
no,
say.
Well, no, you just got to start him off with a friendly giant. That's all.
Right. Exactly. Oh, that's good.
Or
that's
Mr.
Good.
Dress Up for us Canadian ladies.
Dress Up.
My wife grabbed my phone out of my hands and started showing clips of old Hot Fudge episodes. Oh, and then we got everything got really out of hand. And that's a that's a hardcore reference.
I was going to ask you, have you looked, was it the New Zoo Review has got an Instagram account now?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to have to check
the
that
daughter
out.
Of Emily and Doug are all over it.
Okay. How about...
Nobody remembers them.
Stevens Mason lived from 1811 to 1843 in the realm of politics.
Stevens. Short life.
Mason. Stevens? Yes. Plural?
Stevens was his first name. Stevens. Mason. I feel like if I give the middle initial, it might give it away.
He didn't invent a jar, did he?
Mar already landed very quickly on the fact that this person was a very young person when they passed. They were also a very young person when they got into politics. Very young.
Oh, I was going to say he was like modeled for like Ivory Soap or something.
I mean,
like
famous
that.
For being the youngest like governor or something.
That's
of,
exactly
of some
correct.
Place.
Oh, the first and youngest governor of the great state of Michigan.
Oh,
yep,
Michigan.
That's exactly right.
Hey.
For the record, he was appointed governor. At age 24.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yes, the boy governor, as he was known.
I think he's his they just Elmwood. Recently moved his
oh, really?
It's in I'm trying to think of the little area there. Can't remember the little area it's called, but they recently moved him.
But, like, is it downtown? Or
yeah, it's downtown.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Exactly. So... Yeah,
right
I
off
just,
Washington Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. I just remember my wife bringing it up that it's just sort of like the bench has got to be really shallow. When we would scoff at a 24-year-old getting elected to Congress these days, you know what I mean? He's like, oh, we're just going to put you in charge of the whole territory. He's like, okay.
Okay.
And then he croaked a few years later, too.
Stress. Think about Stress that. On the job.
Mm-hmm. I think this one's going to be another giveaway, but we'll see if I'm right or not. Born in 1970, still alive. The world is athletics. The great Heather Nabosny.
Oh, Comerica Park groundskeeper.
Yes, she's the head groundskeeper, the first head groundskeeper who's female in Major League Baseball history. She's held this position since the year 2000 when the park opened.
Oh.
And I can't believe we're saying this, but Comerica Park is already 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fascinating when you say things like that. Whew. I remember old Tiger Stadium, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How about Roy Thornton? Born 1908, passed 1937, another short lifetime, American outlaw.
Doc Holliday or somebody like
that? Roy Thornton.
Roy Thornton. Wait a minute. Did he go by another name?
That's not what it says here, but he is associated by somebody with a name not even close to his.
Well, that's like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly. He was Bonnie Parker's husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He died in an attempted prison escape. Yes, he actually married her in 1926, and they never divorced. So there's a short lifespan for you there.
Hmm.
Roy Thornton. Everybody thinks Bonnie and Clyde go together, and they do, but not in that
like
way.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Kai Lun, according to history, died in 121 AD. Okay, so put your time travel hats on.
Okay.
Inventor / Chinese court official.
famous
paper
for the invention, I'm assuming.
The invention of paper. Now, how did you know that off the top of your head?
It's a DNA thing. You know, it's just kind of they just transfer the knowledge on down. I don't know.
It's that Canadian.
I know. Oh, yes. It's that land bridge thing, you know? I mean, it's...
It had to do with having cheap, easily recordable stuff on hand, right? That's...
Because prior to that, didn't they write, like... I vaguely remember seeing a museum in Beijing where they wrote, like, formulas on strips of bamboo.
Right.
Oh, it was bamboo?
Yeah, long strips of bamboo, and they used to write everything on it.
It says wood fibers, old textiles, and fishnets were common in China since 3rd century BC. Lun completely redefined all steps of the paper production process and the way that the paper mix was finalized in its state. It's actually very fascinating to see someone do the classic sort of like wet paper generation. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Steve says, thanks for taking the time to use my questions, and thank you for all the entertainment over the years.
Did we pass?
I'm going to give us a big thumbs up. I'm saying,
Nice.
Cool. These were great questions.
Thanks for sending those in. That's
awesome.
Those
are really good. Send more.
Absolutely.
Lots more.
You know what we're going to have to do here is that we're going to have to go to a little place that we call the Burroughs Family Imponderables.
Oh, here we go again.
So we've got some things we need to talk about.
Ponder the imponderables.
Bob, I think you're familiar with this, but the Burroughs family has sent us both questions, like traditional questions, but also wants to get to know us better. So they throw out, like, what's your favorite whatever?
Shoe size. Or
we kind of chew on it for a while.
Your favorite guava.
Your favorite guava. Your favorite thing to do with dragon fruit. That's my favorite thing. No. Let's see. What could we say? Okay. All right. All right. Favorite national monument feels pretty general. Monument. Pretty general. What's a national monument that you just like to see? I'll go first.
Go.
I'll go first. I was in Washington last weekend. And you drive from the Reagan Airport closer to downtown, and you have to cross the Potomac. So you're going to see, you just can't miss, it's the Jefferson Memorial. I don't know. I've always connected with Jefferson. He may be the only president we had that was actually at least partly a scientist, you know. Yeah. So that makes sense. But you're driving by, and inevitably the sun is down, it's winter, and all I can think of, as per usual...
It's The Simpsons.
The Simpsons episode where Lisa goes to ask him for help, and his first impulse as the statue of him comes alive and interacts with her is, what, was there like too long a line at the Lincoln Memorial?
Oh, God.
And she goes, yes. So nobody is at the Jefferson Memorial, but I think it's cool. I actually like the look of it, being open air with all the columns and then the statue of him in the middle.
And the rotunda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very Monticello, you know, what can I say? So that's my story.
Well, Lisa stole my thunder because I was going to say the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, no, that's great. Come on. It's perfect. It's just a perfect sculpture, right?
I feel like I'm not patriotic enough for this question. Well, it's a challenge.
It could be anything.
Oh, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be Mount Rushmore.
It could be like the giant slide at Belle Isle. I mean, you know.
The giant slide at Belle Isle.
How about the Belle Isle Conservatory?
Oh, there you
but
go.
That's not a national monument.
I know.
That's
I'm kidding.
Just it's just a monument. You could say anything, Mara.
I'll say the Mackinac Bridge because
that's a good one.
As a kid, I remember, you know, we did that trip to Mackinac Island and crossing the bridge. I was like, wow, it's so big. And now I'm like, it's not as big, but it's still cool.
It's still cool.
Because Michigan.
There are times I have to say when the interstate highway system is my favorite natural monument.
When it moves. When it moves and doesn't have orange cones. Yeah.
Not the best pictures on the news lately with all the weather about the interstates.
No.
Yes.
When I was in Arizona, northern Arizona got hit, again and again and again. I mean, in the 3 weeks I was there, they had one major snowstorm after another, and I-40 and I-17 going up to it would be closed every time you turned around.
Yeah.
They're just not used to
it. Flagstaff got 22 inches of snow one weekend.
Oh, my God.
Have we even had 22 inches of snow here?
No, we haven't even had 12 or whatever. So it's just... Sheesh. Hmm. All right, we're waiting on Dave and Bob here.
Okay, I'll wait. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's very recent, so it's in my mind. Who's been to the Plymouth Rock?
Oh yeah.
I don't know what, you know, when it's funny because I really had no sense of what the Plymouth Rock, and we visited some friends on Cape Cod, and they said, oh, we're close to the Plymouth Rock, but they kept like lowering expectations because you know, in your mind, you think the Plymouth Rock is large, but
it's
like a little bit bigger than a basketball. Oh, or something. And you have, it's like in a cage, but it's like down,
right.
And it's I guess it's not my favorite. In some ways, it's the it's almost the most disappointing one. No, because, you know, everybody's heard of the Plymouth Rock and they want to go visit it, but it's really kind of, it's a rock. It's basically a large rock.
It's a rock.
Yeah. So that's my story.
There's a town in South Carolina called Little Rock, and it's really just two-lane roads that cross one another. So hardly anything there, but at the intersection, there's a rock about this big. And that's how it got its name.
See? Absolutely hilarious.
But now, for me, I'm torn between two. Statue of Liberty and Angel Island.
Just because
for immigrants coming to this country, it's got to be, I don't know, I think Statue of Liberty gives you hope. Because, I mean, coming into the harbor, you can see it a mile away. And I can only imagine what those poor people, like, oh, we're here kind of thing. And then Angel Island is where my great-grandfather came into America. So I've always wondered what he went through there. That's all. Actually, I've been meaning to go there.
That's close to Liberty Island, if I remember correctly.
No, that's San Francisco Harbor.
Oh, I was in San Francisco. That's right.
Ellis Island is what I'm thinking of.
Yes. Okay.
But they've turned it into a national monument now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've got to take one of my cousins, because she can still read Chinese, whereas I can't. I guess inside the barracks, there's graffiti all over the place. I'm wondering, okay, did the old man scribble something? Was he tagging before his time? What's going on here? So,
very cool.
I'm curious. Just got to go.
My dad's dad's side of the family also came through Angel Island. It's like I knew I recognized it, but I was like, wait, he was out in Richmond, which, you know, is basically close by there. So that's very cool. I mean, when we say something like, what's your favorite national monument? It feels like it has to be like a certified monument. Yeah. Like
Belle Isle Slide.
Joe Louis Fist.
There you go, yeah. Okay, so how about we twist it just a little bit? I mean, Mara's ahead of her time. We do like Michigan or like Detroit. Like, what's a monument? I like Joe Louis Fist. That rings a bell, you know, no pun intended.
What about the Underground Railroad?
At Hart Plaza, yep.
And then the Gucci Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing up that thing. Oh.
See, now the Belle Isle Slide has legitimacy because you...
I remember when I was a little kid, we used to take field trips there. 5 cents a ride, as opposed to a dollar now.
Wait, how much was it?
5 cents.
To ride the Belle Isle Slide.
Now it's a dollar.
I was thinking about this the other day. It's just been a very long time since I've taken Lodge all the way to the river. And then it's kind of disturbing still for someone of my age to drive by and see that Joe Louis Arena isn't there anymore, you know, and whatever they're building. But there were some very strong voices that I don't feel like were listened to when it was torn down. It'd be like, you know, you name something after a very, very important person of color, and then you just tear that down. Are we going to port that name over to something else, or are we going to lose it forever?
Well, and I think, wasn't that one of the last arenas not named after a corporate entity?
No, seriously.
Yeah, seriously. I think so.
Must be.
And is it their condos that they're building down there on the site?
It's wild because there's this central, like, elevator shaft that's been built, and so you're like, yeah, it's probably going to be just a place for people to live.
The University of Detroit played in the first event there against the University of Michigan. That game.
That's right.
Wow.
Probably 1980, maybe?
Yep. And let's not forget that it was Titans versus Wolverines for the very first college basketball game played at LCA because of exactly what you said. And I was at that event.
Yeah.
Well, professors, we had a good go of it, and we explored all sorts of monuments, but I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye. Mara.
Goodbye.
Bob.
Wow, time really flew. Goodbye.
Jim.
Farewell.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.